Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine, the MD, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place.
Hello, welcome to Reversing Diabetes with Delaine, MD. This is the podcast to help people who are diabetic and want to not be diabetic anymore figure out how to do that. This podcast offers a variety of different options and tools to help people make some healthy lifestyle changes. So if that's what you're interested in, you're in the right place. So today I am going to talk about food pushers, because it's the holiday season and we experience this. We as humans in America experience food pushing. I don't call it this anymore, but certainly I recognize the concept and you're going to recognize it too when I describe it. So I know that it's a COVID Christmas holiday season. I know everybody doesn't celebrate Christmas, but I think saying COVID Christmas is really funny. So it's a holiday season that's a little different this year than we usually have. So I understand that. And you're going to want to say, but I'm not going to be at parties. There's not going to be food pushers. But what I want you to realize is that I've already seen this happen over Halloween in my clients. My clients coming to me telling me, somebody gave me this food and I had to eat it. I just had to do it. And that's really this concept of food pushers. So even during a COVID Christmas, even in this very unique global pandemic holiday season, this is still going to be applicable. You may not see it in the same, I don't know, situations, the same environments that you've seen it in the past, but you'll recognize it. Practice it this holiday season and then see where it comes up in future holiday seasons too. So what is a food pusher? A food pusher is really a thought error. I don't know that it's a thought error, but it's a thought you have about somebody else having expectations about how you manage food. You're going to say, my Aunt Martha makes this cake and then she makes me eat it. And she walks around and she harasses me until I take a piece of cake or a piece of the pie or a piece of whatever it is, and I eat it. That's what you're going to perceive a food pusher as. That's your experience. Totally based on thoughts, not necessarily the actual way it happens. Doesn't have to be that way for you. Your experience does not have to be that way. It is optional. And that's because it's a thought you're having, and all of our thoughts are optional. That's just how it works. We believe that it's the way that it is, that like we're just reporting the news. This is a fact. This is what happens. We believe that because most of us aren't very practiced at intentionally thinking, at realizing that our thoughts are optional. They are choices. Whether we keep them or whether we discard them and get better thoughts is always on the table. So food pushers are this belief that somebody has an expectation that I'm going to eat that food and therefore I have to eat that food, right? The thought is, you know, the circumstances, somebody came and put candy on my desk. The thought is, if I don't eat that, they're going to think I'm rude. The feeling is, I feel obligated. I feel like I have to. Sometimes it's feeling even manipulated. The action is to eat the food. And then your circumstance, or your result from that is that you are being rude to you. You aren't taking care of you in the way that you need to do. You aren't advocating for you. You aren't showing up for you. You've told yourself you have to show up for this person in a certain way. I have to eat the food or they're going to think I'm rude. I have to eat the food or they aren't going to like me. But what you get from the result of that belief is that you don't like yourself. You don't like the way you have shown up for you. And that's what you create there. Evidence that something's wrong with you, right? That's how it works in the thought model. That is one example. Somebody puts candy on your desk. And that did come from a client recently, right? Somebody put candy on their desk and they were like, well, I had to eat it. And this is what happened. They ate the candy. And then that one piece of candy, that one Halloween snack size thing of candy turned into a bunch of other foods during the day that they ate that wasn't in alignment with what they wanted, their true desire for their health. And it just made an entire day of not showing up for themselves the way that they wanted to. other places that you see this. You'll be at a work party. This used to happen at my office all the time. Like somebody, you know, you, for your work party, you make your best dish, right? Like whatever it is that everybody loves, that's what you're gonna make. And you want everybody to have it because you wanna hear how great you've done, right? But those are your thoughts. We had one person that would make, they made this, it was a chocolate chip cookie dip. And you could put this on anything and it would make whatever you put it on amazing. You could eat plastic chips and they would taste fabulous because you'd put this chocolate chip dip on it, right? It didn't matter how horrible the food was. You could put this chocolate chip dip on it and it was fabulous, right? But of course, that person knew that everybody just raved about the chocolate chip dip. So they were constantly like, you should try it, you should try it, you should try it, right? That can certainly be perceived as food pushing. Gifts are another time that we see this. People will give you a gift of food. They make, another client of mine, she would make, this is an old client I used to have, she would make peanut brittle, that's what it's called, right? Peanut brittle, it's not peanut butter brittle. I think it's peanut brittle, but she would make it. And everybody raved. For decades, her experience was everybody raved about her peanut brittle. And so she would make it and she would give it to people as a gift. Right? Like she means it sincerely as something that she's doing to be kind to others. But whether or not you eat it is up to you, right? We tell ourselves, I've got to eat it or I'm going to seem rude, which is not true. That's all a thought, right? And the way that I like rationalize this in my head is if you were allergic to peanuts, clearly you wouldn't have to eat the peanut brittle. Right? If you are a recovering alcoholic and somebody gives you a lovely bottle of wine met with the best intentions, you do not have to drink the lovely bottle of wine. Like, clearly you don't have to do that, right? If it is going to negatively impact your truest desires, you don't have to do the thing, right? Sometimes I remember my daughter-in-law, when she was first dating my son, I wanted to get to know them better. And my son's a Marine, a real like balls to the wall kind of kid, right? Like he's like, I want to try everything. I want to do everything, extreme everything. I want to be the best of everything. I want to have the most of everything. So my son will try anything, right? Like naked water skiing. He'd like, yeah, let's try it. Like the kid would do anything. And so we rock climb, right? Like my husband and I and our smaller children, we rock climb as kind of a family thing. So when they were first dating and I wanted to get to know his girlfriend, his then girlfriend, now my daughter-in-law, when I wanted to get to know her better, we're like, let's go rock climbing. Hell yeah. Like this is a fun thing that we can do. I'll pay for it. We'll get your gear. It's all good. Let's like, it was literally like this gift that I thought I was giving them. Until I got her out there on the rock, on the wall, and she was terrified of heights. She did not enjoy that. That was not a gift. She very politely humored us and did one route. She's like, I did it. Look, we're done. And then, of course, I realized that this wasn't a gift to her, but she did not feel like she had to continue to climb. I realized this about a week and a half later. She did not feel like she needed to continue to do this. But she did like go up the wall once and was petrified the entire time, right? Like then she came down and she's like, all right, I did it. I'm done. I did not think, oh my God, how rude is my son's girlfriend because she isn't going to do this with me. I very clearly saw she was terrified by it and didn't want her to do that, right? In her mind, she definitely did the experience with the thought that if I don't do it, I'm going to be rude. I have to do this thing or my boyfriend's mom is not going to like me. I think she definitely had that thought. But when she stopped doing it, it did not make me not like her. I love her. I mean, I didn't want her to be petrified and terrified in an experience. That was certainly not my intention. And once I realized that that was what she experienced with that, I didn't push her to continue to climb, right? My son, on the other hand, he was like, ah, let's do it. You know, he was all over it. He thought it was a blast. But recognizing that when somebody gives you a gift, if for some reason it does not meet your true desires, likely that person doesn't really want you to experience that gift if it goes against something within you, if it goes against who you authentically are, right? Other places that we see these kinds of experiences, holiday parties, holiday dinners. Again, Aunt Martha makes her famous fruitcake, if that's even a thing. And she follows you around trying to get you to eat it, right? So that's where we then have this belief that I have to eat it or I'm going to be rude. I have to eat it or they aren't going to like me, okay? So a couple of things go into this. If you believe that eating food makes you rude or polite, then I think that there's probably some misunderstanding about what politeness and rudeness is. And you probably need to really dig into that, recognizing that you can very politely decline, right? If you have an allergy to something, like I have these crazy allergies to meat, and I'm trying to still hash that out. Maybe it's eggs, maybe it's meat. I'm not sure. But I have this allergy that I will break out. So somebody can make the most amazing steak for me ever, like prime cut of meat, super expensive cut of meat, really put resources, energy, time into making me a most amazing steak. And you know what I'm going to have to tell them? Thank you so much, but I break out in a rash when I eat that. I can be polite and still decline the gift, right? So telling ourselves we have to do something in order to be polite is not necessarily true. And I would venture to say that that's very rarely the truth. You can politely decline things. You can rudely decline things too, right? But you can very much go out of your way to be considerate of their like gesture. Like they are doing something in order to show me their care, right? So I can decline that in a way that shows them that I care. I don't have to eat it though, but we tell ourselves we do. And a lot of times the reason that we tell ourselves we do is because we really just want to eat the junk. I really just want to have the pie. I really do want to try Aunt Martha's fruitcake. I certainly really do on some level, like there is some part of me that wants to have the chocolate chip cookie dip, right? I definitely, there's some part of me that wants to have the Halloween candy that's put on my desk. Certainly, there's a big part of me that wants to have the peanut brittle because it's delicious, right? Like that's what we really, like that's why we tell ourselves we have to do it, because we want a good excuse to eat the things. And if I can do it in order to make somebody else feel better, quote unquote, this is the story we tell ourselves, right? I have to do it or I'm rude and they're going to feel bad. So I have to eat the peanut brittle or she's going to think I'm rude and then she's going to think badly about me or she's going to think I don't care about her. Like I have to do this in order to make them think or believe or feel something. And that's where we get into trouble, right? Because what I do does not dictate what they think or feel, right? Like their thoughts and feelings, their beliefs and their feelings are theirs. My beliefs and my feelings are mine. I do not feel bad when I tell somebody I cannot eat steak because I have an allergy to it. I don't feel bad about that. I don't feel bad that I'm telling them no thank you because I'm going to break out from head to toe in an inflamed, itchy rash for the next 12 hours. I don't feel bad about that. If they feel like I'm rude or horrible because I don't want to break out into an itchy rash, that's totally fine by me because I'm advocating for what my needs are, what my truest desires are, what I need really is what it comes down to. What I truly need is to not be broken out in a rash for 12 hours. So I don't feel bad, even if they're upset about it. It's very rare that that happens though, right? Most people are like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. Don't eat that. You're totally going to break out, right? I did this at one of my work parties. My husband makes the most amazing pico de gallo. Most people say like, I could eat this as a salad. Like it's so, so, so good. But of course he puts jalapenos in it. And one of my colleagues at work was allergic to jalapenos and she ate some. She was allergic. It's something about the chili she was allergic to. And I don't know why she would have eaten this pico. I think maybe she didn't realize it, or maybe it was even in something, but she got into it and totally like went into this allergic reaction at work where she had to take Benadryl and she had to like medicate and everything and still was really inflamed and itchy and her throat was swelling. It was kind of scary. And I walked into the office after lunch and she's like, you tried to kill me. And I was like, I did. I don't think I did try to kill you. I love you. I would never try to kill you. And she said it jokingly. But of course I was not, I mean, like I did feel bad. It was like, oh, I didn't even think about that. That like, I should have probably warned you not to eat this. I didn't know about her allergy, but again, like I didn't sit there and think, oh, she's so rude. because she won't eat any more of my pico de gallo, which is clearly delicious. I didn't think that at all. I was like, I felt bad because I had the thought that I should have warned her, right? Like that was where I felt bad. It wasn't because she wasn't eating it. And that's really how most of this ends up being, right? Like if you give a bottle of wine to somebody you didn't know was a 20-year recovering alcoholic, and they're like, oh, that's a beautiful bottle of wine, but I'm going to have you go ahead and keep that because I don't actually drink. Again, you feel bad, not because, oh my God, you're so rude, you won't drink my bottle of wine, because we didn't know something, right? We don't want somebody to go against their authentic good, what is authentically good for them, right? When we are in the moment where we're telling ourselves that that's what's going on, though, we're telling ourselves they're going to think bad about me. We're telling ourselves that they're going to think I'm rude. In that moment, we're telling ourselves that so that we can have a good excuse to eat the things. Okay. So recognizing that for what it is really, really important. Leaning on your true authenticity, also very, very important. The other thing that we use this strategy for, this telling ourselves we have to eat the food, telling ourselves that if we don't do it, that they're not going to like us. I mean, that's why we do it, right? Because we want somebody to like us. But I always remind my clients, when you are doing something that you don't really want to do in order to manipulate somebody else's thoughts or beliefs about you, you are presenting an inauthentic version of yourself. So even if they like you because you ate the stuff, recognizing they're not liking the authentic version. It's like when the PTA asks me to bake 2 dozen cookies for the kids' bake sale. And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. That's a lie. I totally wouldn't love to. I totally do not want to cook the cookies for my kids' bake sale. I'll buy cookies. I'll donate in some other way. I'll just donate cash. If you really want me to cook the cookies, but clearly understand I don't want to and I don't enjoy it, and you still want me to do that, I mean, I guess I can. But understand, I do not enjoy cooking cookies, baking cookies. And for me to make the PTA mother believe, like the head of the PTA believe that I love to bake cookies, is making her think something that's a lie essentially about me. I don't love to bake cookies. And if she likes me based on that lie, that's not me she likes. She likes some version of me that doesn't exist. So recognizing showing up for yourself in an authentic way is so, so, so important. So we all have desires, right? And yes, we have desires for these foods, but I really look at desires as twofold. Desires can be true desires and they can be false desires. True desires will always move you towards your goal, and false desires will move you away from those goals. So if your goals are to normalize your blood sugars and lose weight, normalize your blood sugars and get off medications, if that's your true desire, if that aligns with an inner core value for you, with your authenticity, your false desire is the chocolate chip cookie dip, right? That is your false desire. The Halloween candy, yes, you will have a very primal urge to eat that food, but it does not align with your true desires. Other primal urges that we experience that probably will make more sense to you are like physical intimacy, sexual desires, right? Like you can see somebody, and men will see somebody. I mean, not that men do this and women don't. Women do this a lot. I think men talk about it more openly than women do. But you may see somebody at the store and think, man, that is an attractive person. I think that they are incredibly attractive. And there will be, on some very primitive level, a physical attraction or urge towards them. But you don't act on them. That's a false desire. Your truest desire is to stay committed in your relationship, right? If you're single, maybe you do act on them. That's fine. But for those who are in committed relationships, when this experience happens, and most people being 100% honest with themselves will say, yeah, this happens to me sometimes. When that happens, your truest desire is to stay in this committed relationship in a way and act in a way that serves that relationship. When you think about those foods that don't really serve your truest goals, your truest desires, it's the same thing. Like, oh yes, of course I would love to eat an entire chocolate cake, but my truest desire is that I'm physically healthy, and that doesn't align with that true desire. So that's a false desire. The false desires move you away from your goals. True desires move you towards your goals. Your authentic self, your authenticity is aligned with your goals. So determining what your goals are and then defining your authenticity is very helpful. And then remembering, always relying on your authenticity. It's rock solid. I love the concept of authenticity. I did a podcast, I think it's podcast number 46, about authenticity, because I really truly believe it is the most powerful thing that we can rely on. If I authentically do not want to be physically unhealthy and diabetic, high blood sugars, on medications, overweight, if that is authentically what I want, then for me to tell Aunt Martha, I don't want your fruitcake, or my coworker that I don't want your chocolate chip cookie dip, I believe that it is amazing, but I don't want that. To tell somebody that I don't want to do something that's going to make me unhealthy is totally in alignment with my authenticity, right? Like, and I don't have to explain it. I don't have to say, oh, well, I'm diabetic, I can't eat that. I don't have to say, oh, I can't have that because I'm trying to lose weight. Like, I can just say, I don't want that. I literally just don't want that. That doesn't align with my goals. And it can be that simple. But when you say it from a place of authenticity, it's so powerful. It's like trying to talk with somebody about why your favorite color is your favorite color and trying to justify it. You don't need to justify it. Like, I don't need to justify why green is my favorite color. I can tell you reasons that I love it. But in the end, even if you're like, that's stupid, I don't agree with that, it doesn't matter. It's still my favorite color. Like, that's how it works, right? And that is the power of authenticity. Like, in the end, if you tell the food pusher, quote unquote, that you are on a diet, that you're trying to not be diabetic, they will respond with a saying or something along the lines of, well, this one won't hurt. And then you have to argue with them why this one will hurt. But this isn't that bad. Then you have to argue with them about why it is that bad. Versus just saying, like, I'm not going to eat that. That doesn't align with what I want. I don't want that. Because authentically, you don't want the results that come with that food. And relying on that authenticity, I just feel like is very, very powerful. So in the time of the holidays, try this out and see how it goes. I want to leave you with one last thing that I thought was really powerful. I'm reading Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights is what it's called. I love this book. He is cut from my cloth. He is my people. He cusses like a sailor. He is kind-hearted and I think a good soul. But yeah, you know, he cusses like a sailor. He's my people. So, but he in this book has a number of really quippy, witty wisdoms that I think are just really amazing. But one really stopped me in my tracks. It's midway through the book and it really stopped me. And the quote is, some people find excuses to do and others find excuses not to. And this is kind of what I think is happening in our minds with this food pushing. Both exist. Excuses to do exist and excuses not to do exist. You can find reasons to eat the food or not eat the food. Look and focus and align with the reasons that uphold your true desires. That's what I would challenge you to do in this holiday season. So I hope you have a great rest of your week and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.